This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In Indianapolis, Drew, your hometown was spotlighted with the combine.
That's right.
I'll be
hopefully
honest,
staying there forever.
You asked us a question. Yeah, I know they're talking about maybe moving it out of Indy or something. I know Dallas wants it along with other cities. That's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But I get it. You're from Indy. You're prideful about that. You want to stay in Indy.
Yeah.
It's been a great thing for Indy and everything. I caught one highlight because it was centered around Xavier Worthy's 40 time from a year ago. Other than that, I didn't really watch it, but I want you to tell us what were some of the three or four main things that came out
things
of the combine.
We need to know.
Okay, so one of the things
he's going to give us his movers.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you put down there, Gold, as a matter of fact, as one of the headlines, is you're referencing Isaiah Bond in the trash talk that he was saying, "I'm going to run faster than Xavier Worthy. He's a Texas guy. I'm a Texas guy, but I'm going to run faster."
How do you do?
Not too great. He ran about 0.2 seconds slower than Xavier Worthy did. He ran a 4.4 and then a 4.41, I think, is what it was.
He wasn't even close.
No, he was not. He was not even the fastest wide receiver. He wasn't even the fastest wide receiver from Texas in this draft.
Yeah. What made him think? Like, was he just trying to get some attention about it, around his name heading in? It wasn't even close. So it'd be one thing if you came up just short. Xavier Worthy had a tweet in response, quote, pretty simple: "There's fast, then there's me."
Woo.
Talk your talk. Talk your talk.
Love
I mean,
that.
If you still got the fastest time, plus 4.2 to 4.4 doesn't, I mean, I'm sure if we watched them next to each other, wouldn't seem like that big of a difference. Massive difference from a 40 time perspective. Massive difference.
100%. Well, and I think
he was almost as close to him as an offensive lineman was to his time.
Exactly.
Like, that can't be good.
One of the things that did stand out from in terms of wide receiver room, two wide receivers from Iowa State, Jalen Noll, and then Higgins were outstanding. They tested very well. Matthew Golden, all of a sudden, he had a really good college football playoff in the last couple of games for Texas. He's all of a sudden gotten himself into the first round conversation. Not to say the Chiefs take a wide receiver, but
two Texas receivers back to back years.
I mean, that would be
so far. SMU wide receiver Rasheed Rice,
Georgia Texas defensive lineman seems to work for Philly.
Yeah, Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy. Just stick with the Texas pipeline at this point.
Absolutely. Another one of the headlines is the defensive backs in particular were very, very fast. One of the things that I think a lot of defensive coordinators are looking for now, not only, you know, the length and the ability to run, but also speed along with that. One of the guys that stood out the most was Darian Porter. He was a guy that was probably second roundish conversation. He's all of a sudden moved, I think, solidified into first round. He's like 6'1", 6'2", longer, lanky wide receiver.
Okay.
He ran a 4.3 40. So he was cooking a little bit. The DBs were all fast. A couple of K-State guys involved in there as well. Jacob Parrish ran the fourth fastest time out of any DB. So I think the DB speed is another thing that comes out of there. Another headline, the defensive line class, as advertised, from a size perspective, from a agility perspective, the trenches, offensive line, maybe not from a talent perspective as good as the class.
I got T-Rex arms, man. I saw those numbers.
But agility-wise, some guys stood out. Obviously, the guy from Missouri.
Membo
was very good. He might be tackle number one, actually, taken. Some people are talking about that
no
now.
No way. Right? Can I ask
serious?
A question? This is so, I know people are always like, you do sports radio? Okay, I watch a lot of football, right? I watch every single Chiefs game. We all watch a lot of football. When is it that left tackles are running? Like, sprinting? I mean, it's impressive that he can run a 4.9 40 at 330 pounds. Does that man ever need to run?
You still want agility. You still want athleticism.
He's running straight, dude.
In fairness, he still wants a cone drill or something.
Well, they do
a
that
40.
Too.
I mean, when's he ever have to run like that?
I don't know. I mean, if he's trying to run downfield and block it, every now and then we see a highlight of a left tackle
every
sprint downfield.
Guy that goes through the combine admits that they train for this, and then a lot of this stuff they never use again, right? Like this is they're training for this one event, and some of it applies, of course, to the game, but a lot of it is just for this, just to show your they do the raw athletic score kind of thing, right? And how simply athletic are you?
Leo
Chanel was a freak. Remember, that was the whole thing about him, and it's paid off on pump blocks or field goal blocks.
It does show a little bit in the tape with him, the just like freak athleticism part. I like it more in the corners, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I don't want to. I want a bad athlete at left tackle. I'm just saying, you know, like I'm glad you can run a 3.940 if your arms are. Whatever, 33 inches. Chiefs aren't going to draft you, I don't think.
No, yeah. But I want a tackle that can move a little bit, though. Honestly, it's why they like Kingsley. They thought he was super athletic. Yeah. I know, it, of course, hasn't panned out, but you get the point.
That
leaves,
like, yeah, that hurts this conversation a little because then you're like, cool that you're fast, I guess, but also... Sure.
Another one of the running backs.
He's also way bigger. Membo's 330. He's not Kingsley.
Another
size.
One of the running backs who stood out was Quinshon Judkins and Amarion Hampton from North Carolina. Amarion is going to go first round for sure. He tested very well. Quinshon, 4.48 40 for being 220 pounds. Really impressive day for him. Second round probably is where he's at. I don't know if you'd want the Chiefs to take him in second round, but
might be a little
that might be where he ends up going. Back?
Why are you guys sure that guy's going in the first round? Who? I mean, we're getting multiple first round running backs this year.
The Hampton kid.
Yes. Hampton,
it's
very
so
good.
Deep.
Very good.
It'll be two. The over under will be set at 1.5 probably in Vegas for like positional.
Yeah.
Another one of the headlines isn't necessarily player wise. It's team wise. More reports coming out that the Jets are interested in moving up to one. The Giants are interested in moving up to one. Could the Titans trade back and just pile up some picks and go from there?
Yeah.
That conversation heating up a little bit more. It seems where maybe the Jets actually want to get Cam Ward or Shador, and they feel like. They have to move up in order to get him.
Brand new regime with the Jets, so like anything we based it off in the past like doesn't apply. We don't know how their thinking is gonna be. The Titans, it's tricky because on one hand we all know for them to ever turn around and have success, brand new GM, they got to nail the quarterback. And so like, is this the you got the number one overall pick? Why are you not taking a quarterback? On the other hand, it's like, hey, stockpile some picks. It's just. Ultimately, if you're Tennessee, you're going to have to get a quarterback eventually.
Yes.
This is probably your only year, hopefully, for your sake, that you're drafting at number one overall. So, like, can you really pass up on a quarterback at number one overall when you don't? You have Mason Rudolph and Will Levis right now.
You already know how I feel about that.
Yeah, you want to just start Mason Rudolph. I think that's how you get fired in 2 years.
I would just take my chance. It doesn't seem to really matter, and NFL teams who are really, really, really good at this, even they admit they're terrible at evaluating this. Otherwise, guys like Jake Locker wouldn't have gotten 10th overall. So just take Cam Ward,
Shedeur
Sanders,
Tennessee Titans.
Just cross your fingers and hope that you got it right. Like, I know, like, do your evaluation, decide on how you ever want to decide, but everyone universally admits it is very difficult to evaluate who actually will work out at quarterback in the NFL and who won't. So just take
in fairness.
Somebody.
I don't know.
I might trade back, but
I don't know if this is a good conversation. I don't know if this is a good comp. Would you say Mason Rudolph is better than Deshaun Watson? Because the Browns made the playoffs.
Well, yes. Deshaun Watson can't even play right now. That too.
Deshaun Watson might be the worst starter in the league.
Point being is the team around Deshaun Watson was Super Bowl caliber. If you look at the defense and just the entirety of what it was, they just had a bad quarterback. The Titans can get to that point where. They have the team. They just have to hit the quarterback. If you draft Abdul Carter or you move back and you get those picks,
Then we're sitting here next year when they're picking 12th and we're like, they don't have a quarterback. Then what are they going to do then?
Then they got to move up. They got to trade all their picks then.
Yeah, but to go from 12 to 1, we act like that's an easy thing to do. It's not. Like,
they're not going to win 12 games. They're not going to finish 12
next year. I know, but you know what I'm saying. Like, whoever is number one overall next year, like, I don't know who's eligible to Arch Manning or whatever. Like, yeah, at that
maybe
point,
Arch or Avery Johnson. Maybe
we are 2 months away from the NFL draft. 3 months,
a month and a half
of April and in Green Bay.
Essentially 2 months,
month and a half till the NFL draft. When does this show officially announce our like draft crushes? You know,
not till we get into early April.
So after pro days.
Okay. Cause I'm starting to develop
guys.
Starting to develop some people that I'm like, you know, yes, at 31. I'm interested around that pick. Really, I just view it anywhere between 20 and 40 because of the possibility of trading.
Oh, is that your hot zone?
Down.
Is that
okay. No, that's just like, I don't think they'll trade up any higher than that or trade down any lower than that. That's all.
I'm hoping for the sake of the show that Cody says there's a guy who is ranked 40th, but he might as well be a first rounder because the guy's that talented. Because,
that's right.
Like Adam Schefter said, you could go from 15 to 35. And you could just pick a player and they're all inside the range.
I mean, that's what Veach said. That's what Schefter. That's what people are kicking around. You know, they think that this is a pretty even draft.
In which case, you should
trade down if you're anywhere in the first round, I guess, that isn't pick 35 or 40. I guess at that point in the second, you can hold on to your
pick. In terms of the quarterback conversation, like if the Raiders don't take somebody in the first round, Quinn Ewers had a good combine. Will Howard, not so much. But again, you can't look into those things too much because you have the chemistry with the wide receivers and all those other things you're throwing to random guys you've never thrown to before.
I know how much
you judge it, I don't know.
I was going to say, I saw Sean Payton this weekend talk about how he thought Bo Nix played terrible at the combine. Like, he's like, he did not have a good session. It looked bad.
Shador was backing up Will Howard actually a little bit on social media.
I was about to bring up Shador. I know he's not for everybody, right? His how he goes about it. I understand it rubs some people the wrong way. The more and more I actually hear him recently talk, though, not just the confidence. And I'm not saying Cam Ward's not a killer, too. He just doesn't say it as vocally. Shador Sanders just says it out loud. The same thing that I think Cam Ward is also feeling internally. The more and more of if you're asking Cody's talking about like, hey, quarterbacks or players that you like heading in the draft more and more, I'm starting to lean more and more like, I actually think Shador Sanders is going to be legit. I think he's going to be a stud in the league. I think this is why the Giants, what they're doing doesn't make any sense if they win veteran. I would just draft Shador if I could. I actually think he's going to be really good. And I think people are going to end up regretting how they kind of felt about him. Now, NFL teams maybe won't care about some of the stuff. I think some of it is more fans don't like. Look, his dad was Deion Sanders.
And he's flashy.
His dad's I'm not going to let him go anywhere. I don't want him to go.
His dad is Deion Sanders. He obviously operates in a very similar fashion. Extremely confident, arrogant. All that's true, but that should not prevent you from drafting if you just actually think he's good. I think now some people are acting like he's just not good because of that. I think Sanders, between the two, I will tell you, Ward or Sanders, right this second, I would draft Sanders before Ward. I know that's not probably how it's going to go in the draft. I think Ward's favorite.
He's the favorite for a reason.
I think it's interesting. When you look at the two and what their situation was in college, Shador is maybe ready more for the NFL because if he goes to the Giants, the offensive line stinks. Colorado's offensive line also stunk. Well, so he's used to playing in that realm of being chased around and sacked. Plus, he has Malik Nabers as well, like Travis Hunter, star player.
He definitely has to get the ball out quicker, but the fact that he's willing to stand in the pocket and take the hits, he's not shying away from that. I like that. He's also extremely accurate. You know, we've had some years where we talk about quarterbacks questioning their accuracy, intermediate, down the field, all that. I don't think those are the questions that I would have about him. So anyway, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the QBs as we get closer. But after this week and just hearing him talk more and more, I'm like, I get why he's not for everybody. But if I'm an NFL team, you can't have that be the reason why you don't take him. In a weird way, I kind of like more and more the confidence now that it is at the NFL level than Colorado, when you had it, when you were winning five games, I thought it was ridiculous. But when you're in the NFL, like heading into the draft, you should be saying you're the franchise changer. Him saying that I changed the culture at Colorado and Jackson State, I'm going to do that again for your team. That's exactly what I want to hear if I'm a GM.